This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Before we dive into the message Christine has for us today, I want to take just a minute to tell you about a partner we are honored to share with you. Did you know that you can be a part of the Great Commission simply by packing Operation Christmas Child shoebox gifts? Your gifts of school supplies, toys, and hygiene items will open the door for children around the world to encounter the love of Christ for the very first time. Around 1,000 churches are being planted each year, even among unreached people groups, as communities are transformed by the power of the gospel. National Collection Week is November 16th through the 23rd. To learn more, visit samaritanspurse.org/OCC or check out the show notes. Now here's your host, Christine Kane.
Whoa, I am so excited to be here today, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in today wherever you are. I know that God has a word for you, and we're going to speak and jump right into the text today from the book of John chapter 5. I'm speaking from the subject of it's up to you. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's totally up to you. It's totally up to you. Do you know, there is more up to you than you even think that there is. In John chapter 5, the Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, I love this text on so many levels. Jesus surprises us like he always does in the fact that he asks a man a question that just seems highly inappropriate in this context. And then he tells the man to do something that, again, appears to be highly inappropriate in this context. The story is set right here in Jerusalem. And the Jewish calendar has three major feast days, the Passover, the Feast at Pentecost, and of course, Tabernacles. And scholars believe that this story is set at the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus was making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this feast day. And the man is lying there at the Sheep Gate, and it's called the Sheep's Gates because basically, Jesus entered through this gate because the shepherds would drive their sheep into Jerusalem through this gate, and then they would go to right down to the pool at Bethesda, and basically they would wash the sheep. And so the pool at Bethesda was divided into two. One part was for the sheep and the other part was for the people. And so this place, the pool of Bethesda in Hebrew means the house of mercy, and in Aramaic, the house of grace. So Jesus turns up to the house of mercy and the house of grace, two words that very, very connected to Jesus. He's a God of mercy and he's a God of grace. And so there were five porches around this pool. I just want you to get this setting. And so here we are, we're at one of the feast days. There's five porches. We're around the house of mercy, the house of grace, the pool of Bethesda. Jesus turns up and he's surrounded by a whole lot of people with infirmities. In fact, the scripture says there were many people here with infirmities. And why were they gathered around here? Why were they gathered around the pool of Bethesda? Because basically, underneath the pool of Bethesda, there were these hot water springs. And when they would begin to rumble, the water would stir. Now, legend had it that it was angels' wings that would stir the water. And the sick people were waiting because once that water was stirred, they were hoping whoever got into the water first would be healed. So basically, the people that were sick would be lying there or sitting there for an indefinite amount of time, just hoping that one day, the waters would stir and they would be the right people in the right place at the right time, and this would be their moment. Can you imagine that kind of life where you just waited for just maybe, perhaps, if, when, somehow in my lifetime, those waters stirred and I would be healed? Well, anyway, this is basically the context that Jesus walked into. And so right here in the text, the Bible says they lay a multitude of invalids, a multitude. There wasn't just one, there was a multitude. There was the lame, there was the blind, there were the paralyzed, and they kind of all stayed in their own section. And you'll find that you'll always find people that are like you, and there will always be multitudes of people like you that gather in the same place. Do you find that in church life, often you'll find all the negative people, they just somehow find each other? I don't even know how that happens, but you just wait for long enough and it's like, yep, there's that section. All the bitter people, all the critical people, you know, people will turn up and go, everyone. And I've noticed in church life, everyone is like two people. But, you know, it's like everybody. But you'll find all the people that if they've got an attitude about something, they're all going to find each other. It's just like misery loves company. It really does. And so there are multitudes. And you know what happens when you hang out with people that are as limited as you are? It creates a culture. And the culture can often be worse than the disease. And within the culture, the disease thrives. And so here it said all the people that were paralyzed, all the people that were lame, all the people that were blind, they all hung out together. I wonder who it is that you're hanging out with, because that's probably going to tell you something about yourself. What is that going to tell you about yourself? And so if you go, you know what, everyone that I'm hanging around with is negative. Well, could there be a correlation between the negative people you're hanging around with and your own negativity? You know, other people are surrounded by people that are full of fear. Well, are you surrounded by fearful people because you're fearful? You know, a lot of people, they come into my world or into my office and they're like, wow, Christine, you are surrounded by people that are positive, that are full of faith. Well, that's because I'm positive and I'm full of faith, and I'm going to surround myself with people that are like me. And I want faith-filled people, people that are full of the Holy Ghost, people that believe God is who He says He is, that God can do what He says He can do. Do you notice on social media how people live in their own echo chambers, that they follow people like them and they retweet people like them? And they quote people like them. And it's like, everybody's saying. It's like, no, not everybody's saying it, just the four people you follow. And so you think the whole world or people are there, like the self-professed prophets of the church, and they're like, on behalf of the church. I'm like, who made you the spokesperson? There are 2 billion Christians in the world. You're not the only one. And so it is interesting that people just find people like themselves. You will always find someone to agree with you. It is amazing. You just look hard enough, you can even make the Bible agree with you. You can make it say what you want it to say. And so it is amazing how misery loves company. And so if you want to change in your life, perhaps you need to change who you're hanging out with. Perhaps you need to not just go, well, this is my lot in life. This is just, you get to choose. You get to choose who your friends are. You know, we don't get to choose our family of origin, but we do get to choose the relationships that we have. And perhaps one of the greatest changes in your life is going to become you changing who you're hanging out with. And so if you are surrounded by fearful people, why don't you get some faith-filled people in your life? If you are surrounded by negative people, why don't you get some positive people in your life? You know, sometimes people think, well, Christine, I just don't want sugar-coated, happy, clappy positivity. Listen, I'll take positive over negative every day of the week. I don't want naysayers. I remember in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Moses said to 12 leaders, go in and spy out the land that God has given us already. Well, 10 of those leaders came back with a negative report. They were full of fear and doubt, and all they were saying was the giants are so big, there is no way we can take the land. And they just talked about all the reasons why not. You know what? There is enough fear, doubt, and negativity in the world today. We don't need to build our life on all the reasons why not. We need to start looking with the eyes of faith as to all the reasons why it can happen. Joshua and Caleb, they turned around and they said, oh no, we are well able to take the land. If God said it, then we are able to do it. And we need a generation of Christians that believe if God said it, we are able to do it. We don't want negativity. We want faith-filled, positive confession in our life. That's what we need. God is well able. And so who are you hanging out with? There is such a spirit of fear on the earth today, such a spirit of terror. There is so much doubt. There is so much negativity. There is so much division and dissension. I mean, I've just decided to stay off social media apart from what I post. And people go, you're always posting positive things. Yes, very intentionally, because I want positive things out there. I want scriptures that are full of faith, full of hope. I want quotes that are going to put courage into people. There's enough discouragement out there. I want to encourage, put courage into people. The Lord said to Joshua, just be strong and very courageous and you will be able to take the land. And more of us would be able to take the land if we stop listening to the naysayers, if we stop listening to fear or doubt and negativity, and if we start listening to the truth of the Word of God and put faith into us. The Bible said a multitude of people with infirmities were surrounded by the pool of Bethesda. You'll always surround yourself with a multitude of people like you. And so at some point, you've got to make a decision that you're going to stand out from the crowd. That just because all of your family is negative doesn't mean you have to be negative. Just because all of your current circle of friends are full of divisiveness or negativity or fear or doubt, make a decision that the change is going to start with you. It's got to start somewhere. I made a decision in my family that it was going to change with me. You know, Greeks are fatalists. It does not matter how bad things are, they can always get worse. And so it wouldn't matter what I did. When I had a ski accident, because my mother wouldn't let me ski when I was younger, so I didn't go skiing until I was 40. And so when I had a ski accident, my mother said this, she goes, I'm so glad you had an accident because I told you that if you ski, you will have an accident. And this just confirms what I said. I'm like, Mom, seriously? But that kind of negativity, that kind of fear, that was sown into me from a very, very young age. And so then I started to surround myself with fearful people because it just reiterated and reinforced what I already thought. Well, do you know what a risk it was for me to begin to build faith-filled people into my life, people that were not like me? But you'll become like those you hang around. And so now people say, wow, Chris, you're so full of faith. You're so positive. But that's because for the last 30 years, I have intentionally built faith-filled people around my life, can-do people. And I've changed my whole circle of influence. I've changed the people that I listen to. Someone watching this on the other side of the screen today, you know what? It's time that you change the kind of books that you read, the kind of authors that you read, the kind of programs that you watch, the kind of sermons that you listen to. I want to tell you, you're listening to the right kind of sermon today. You're listening to a sermon full of faith, full of hope, full of life. And sometimes you need to turn off the naysayers and turn up the sound of faith and hope and love. And so there was a multitude of invalids, people with the same issues. They're always going to find each other. They just really are. The gossipers will find each other. It's just the way that it happens. And so, you know what? People that have issues, and I have found this, you know, many of you know my story, that I come from a background where I was sexually abused for many, many years, where I was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted when I was born. And so I was full of so many issues. There wasn't an issue invented that I didn't have. I was full of insecurity. I was full of fear. I was full of doubt. I was full of negativity. I was full of anger. I was full of bitterness. I was full of unforgiveness. And so you know what? I wanted to find other people that would sit around and talk about their problems all the time, just like I wanted to, because it makes you feel better. Somehow it makes your soul, it doesn't help your spirit, but it helps your soul feel better when you just keep talking about and blaming everybody else because everything is everybody else's fault. It's a lot easier to blame everyone else than take any personal responsibility for your own life. And so what happens is when you sit around with people that have got the same limited issues as you do, you do that because at the end of the day, this is what I've discovered, Most people would rather be accepted in their brokenness rather than changed into wholeness. They would rather be affirmed in the way that you're justified. I'm going to affirm you. Yes, it's not your fault. It's because of what they did to you. Most of us would rather be affirmed than be changed. That's what it comes down to. We would rather be comforted than changed. A lot of us would just prefer to just be hugged. And that's why you see people that have been Christians for 20 years. And nothing has changed. Still talking about the same old issues, still blaming the same old people, and nothing has changed because we just want comfort. We just want comfort. Well, you know, I love to comfort my children. I love my children with a passion. And, you know, Sophia's my little cuddly one. She loves it and she comes in. But at some point, if Sophia just keeps coming up to me, "Mummy, I love you. Mummy, I just want you to snuggle me." Well, what mother doesn't love that? We all love that. And that's all cool. But at some point, if she keeps doing that every night for like 6 months, I'm going to be like, "Kid, get up and clean your room. I love you." And I think sometimes Jesus is saying, "Would you get up? I want you to do something with your life. I've put you on the planet. Yes, come to me for grace and love, and I'm going to stroke you." But some of us, and especially some of us women, need to get some backbone and some tenacity and say, "Well, you know what? I've been sitting at the feet of Jesus for 20 years broken. It's about time I stand up, get my chin up, and I begin to walk into the fullness of the purpose that God has for me." But many of us would prefer to be comforted than changed. Some of us, we would prefer to be enabled than changed. And so sometimes I think even as brothers and sisters in Christ, God wants to bring us to maturity. That's what Ephesians 4 tells us, that God wants to bring us to maturity. And it's time for us in the body of Christ to grow up. It's time for us to take some responsibility and to stop enabling one another in our brokenness. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, died on a cross, shed his blood, rose again from the dead, ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And we have everything pertaining to life and godliness in him. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are a brand new creation. We do not have to live as victims nor enable each other to be victims. We can live as victorious overcomers in Christ Jesus who strengthens us. That is our mandate. We can live a life of victory and we can live a life of promise. Others of us, we'd rather be pitied than changed because we love to just be self-indulged with pity. And you know what? Pity's a party I don't want to be a part of. That's my bottom line. There was one time, I love my spiritual mother, Joyce Meyer. She always says, "You can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both." And you know what? I've had her saying that in my brain for 20 years. And so anytime I feel sorry for myself, I find myself saying this out loud, "Chris Kane, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you cannot be both. So make a decision to get up and get over it." And someone just got set free today. You've been sitting on your couch, eating those chips, feeling sorry for yourself, and you're freaking out. As I'm saying that, you're dropping the chips. It's coming out of your mouth going, "How does she know that that is happening?" And because God is saying it's time to stop pitying yourself, he's put his Holy Spirit power on the inside of you, and you can rise up and be the person he's called you to be and do what he has called you to do. You can be pitiful or powerful, but you cannot be both. Make up your mind today. We don't want to find our identity in our condition. You see, these people lying by the pool of Bethesda, that was their identity. "I'm lame. I'm blind. I'm sick." They let out with their infirmity. They let out with their condition. And that's what some of us are like too. You know what? This is, you know, that's my label. I'm an ex-abuse victim, or I'm an ex-this, or my label is that this is my limitation. What we do is we carry our identity through our limitation rather than who we are in Christ. My primary identity is not what happened to me. My primary identity is not my biggest failure. My primary identity is not anything about me other than I'm a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My primary identity is that I am in Christ. I am a Christian. I am a Christ follower. That's my primary identity. Anytime your identity, your primary identity is in anything other than who you are in Christ, then you have got it inverted and that thing is an idol in your life. And so what we need to do is get our primary identity from Jesus. Have you ever seen anyone where their condition has become their label? You know, it's amazing where somebody, you know, they might have an anger problem because everything's a problem. We call things problem. We don't call them sins anymore. We just call them problems. And so, you know, we don't call adultery a sin. It's just a marriage problem. And so I just think, wow. So people that have got like, and you're like, shh, don't set her off. Don't set her off because, you know, if you push that button, she's going to explode. Now, you don't think you've got any problem, but I just need to ask your best friend sitting next to you if there is an issue. You go, I haven't got an issue. You know, it's just like, no, that's not my issue. I don't have an issue, but I just need to ask one of your family members or one of your friends whether you have an issue, and I'm sure they'll be able to give me a list because none of us think we have any issues. We think we're the fourth part of the Trinity. But anyway, the thing is that everyone has got an issue, and eventually, if you don't deal with that issue and bring it to the foot of the cross of Jesus to be healed and to be made whole, you'll be known by that issue. It'll be like, here she comes. Don't set that up. Don't talk to her about that. You know what she's like about that. You know what's her. And you know, the Bible is full of people. We don't know their name. We just know their issue. You know, there's the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know her name, but we know her issue. There's a blind man. We don't know his name, but we know his issue. There's a deaf man. We don't know his name, but we know his issue. You get to a point where you no longer know your name. All you know is your issue. And you wake up every day and all you're thinking about is your issue rather than who you are in Christ. It's time to replace your primary identity from your issue to who you are in Christ, that you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords, that you are created in the image of God, that you are filled with God-given destiny and God-given potential. God has put his spirit on the inside of you, and the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. You can be anything God's called you to be. You can do anything God's called you to do. You were not put on the planet to just exist until you go to heaven. You are put on the planet to be highly effective for the glory of God. There is more in you than you know. Your identity can be found in and through who you are as a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so a multitude were lying by the pool, waiting for something to change. Friend, I wonder if you've just been waiting for something to change, kind of like you just think God's going to drop it out of the sky. Somehow tomorrow, you don't have to change anything about your condition. God is going to just somehow miraculously, like fairy dust, drop something out of the sky. That's how a lot of Christians live. If God wants to do it, something will change. God has already done it. Something has changed. God incarnate came from heaven to earth. He paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. He bore all of our iniquity on that cross, and he rose again from the dead so that you and I can have an overcoming, victorious Christian life. He's already done everything that he needs to do. It's now time for us to appropriate what Jesus has already done for us and to begin to walk in the fullness of the promise that is ours in and through a relationship with Christ Jesus. You don't have to settle for your lot in life. You don't have to just wait for somehow the planets to align before everything changes. In and through a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can leave your past behind and you can step into a faith-filled, promise-filled, overcoming, victorious Christian life in your future. Your history does not need to define your destiny. Just because there has been a legacy in your family tree, well, Christine, we've always had alcoholism in our family. We've always had abuse in our family. We've always had addiction in our family. We've always had poverty in our family. That's just the way it is. It doesn't just have to be that way. You can make a decision that with you, everything changes. You're drawing a bloodline in the sand, and although you can't change the past, you will change the future in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It all changes for you. You could be sitting watching this program today, and you've just thought you have to accept your lot. You're going to lie by this pool. You're going to hope for those waters to stir, and that maybe someday before you die, Jesus might just touch you. I want you to know that he is right there, touching you right now, saying, be healed, be whole. that there is a life beyond your past. There is a life that is bigger than your worst mistake that you have ever made. What Jesus has done for you is bigger than what anyone else has done to you. What Jesus has done before you is bigger than what anyone else has said to you. Your waters have already stirred. The pool is moving. Jesus is touching you. He's saying, be healed, be whole, get up, take up your mat, walk into the God-given future and destiny that He has for you. Your future is so much better than your past. You don't have to settle where you are right now. God takes us from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from glory to glory. Your greatest days are not behind you. They are still ahead of you. God has a future for you. God has a plan for you. And His word says that His plans for you are, guess what? For good and not for evil. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They are plans to give you a hope and a future. You have a great future. You have a great hope. You don't have to lie by the pool any longer. Today is your day to get up and walk in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.